71. Charlie. Bob, June 2213, Delta Eridani. Charlie hung in the rack, powered down and looking boneless. The Deltan android looked utterly convincing. I had put a lot of effort into getting the fur right, both in texture and layout. I didn't want Charlie to come across like all the bad ape and werewolf costumes from 20th century movies. This needed to be believable. I realized that I was stalling. The android had been checked out every which way, and it was now time to put up or shut up. Sighing, I ordered the cargo drone to open the hangar door while I activated Charlie. I turned my head and looked out the cargo bay doors. It took a moment for my eyes to adjust to the bright daylight outside. I undraped myself from the support rack and, staggering a little, walked to the doors. I stood for a moment looking around at the forest. I'd seen all of this many times, of course, from the various drones, but there was something viscerally different this time. I was here in some undefinable way. It might be as simple as the feeling of the breeze lightly ruffling my fur, or the smell of the damp leaf layer that formed the floor of the forest. I spared a moment to grin with unconstrained joy, which the autonomic interface converted to a spread-eared, wide-eyed expression appropriate to a Deltan. Stepping out onto the surface of Eden, I looked down at the ground, feeling the slightly slimy texture as the decaying leaf fragments squished between my clawed toes. Dappled sunlight flickered as the tree branches and leaves moved in the breeze. With an effort, I brought myself back on task. I triggered the heads-up display and pulled up a local map. The image hovering in my line of sight showed my location and the location of Archimedes relative to me. I turned to line him up and began to walk. I spotted Archimedes through the underbrush, the observation drone hovering near his shoulder. He casually worked a small flint core as he waited. It appeared I was far more nervous about this meeting than he was, or maybe that was his way of coping. Well, whatever. Showtime. I walked towards him and said his name as soon as I was within conversational distance. He looked up, and his eyes went wide. Springing to his feet, he squeaked, "Bob!" I grinned at him as I approached. I opened my mouth to respond, but stopped in surprise when he jerked back and exclaimed,
"Woof! Wow!"
"Problem?"
"Sorry, Bob. You smell. Kinda like the drones, especially when a new one is delivered, and also a bit like the ashes from a cold fire. You definitely won't fool anyone."
"Oh, crap!" I rolled my eyes in frustration. "I didn't think of that. Deltans depend much more on the sense of smell than humans do. Is it really bad?"
"Not as long as I'm upwind, no,"
he grinned at me. "Gotcha. Okay, I'll go to work on it. How about the rest? Does it look okay?" Archimedes cocked his head one way, then the other.
"You move in a sort of jerky way, like a pup when he's learning to walk, but maybe that'll go away. What's more weird is that your fur pattern is exactly the same on both sides of your body. No one is like that. It stands out."
Of course, I'd made Charlie completely symmetrical. I would have to fix that, and the odor. I needed to smell like a Deltan, and more importantly, like an individual. I took a deep lungful of Archimedes, cataloging his odor and the lingering essence of what had to be Diana. It wasn't insurmountable, thank the universe, just chemistry. "Got it. Okay, Archimedes, I'll go away and fix this stuff. I can see you trying to stay upwind of me, even though you're being polite about it," I chuckled. "Having been downwind of a couple of people who needed showers in a former life, I can relate." Archimedes looked slightly confused, but nodded. I waved goodbye and turned to walk back to the cargo drone. Charlie the Android, take two. I walked up to Archimedes and spread my arms, palms forward, in a "well" gesture. He took a deep sniff, cocked his head, and nodded.
"You're walking better as well. I guess that's just practice, like with children. And your fur pattern is better. It's very simple, but I know a few people like that. You'll just be forgettable."
He grinned at me. I laughed in response. "Well, that's fine. The last thing I want is to attract attention. Now, Will I be questioned if I enter Camelot?
No, I don't think so.
Archimedes turned and gestured towards the village, and we began walking. I silently ordered the drone to return to standby.
Camelot is so big now,
he continued.
And Caerleon is growing as well, even with the tension between us and them. A certain number of people still move back and forth. It's not like there are rules about it.
He gave me a sideways glance and a knowing grin. I pantomimed silent laughter at him. Archimedes and I had talked about many things over the decades. I think he now understood that I wasn't some kind of supernatural being, just someone with more knowledge than him. In a society where very little changed from generation to generation, it was easy to think of the way things are as some kind of natural state, but Archimedes had seen enough new knowledge in his lifetime to understand that when you went from not knowing something to knowing something, it changed the way you lived. With the loss of that awe had come a much deeper friendship and a better understanding between us. Archimedes thought a lot of the things humans took for granted were hilarious, like the idea of rules for everything. Deltans simply wouldn't stand for such regimentation of their lives. I found myself coming around to his point of view more and more. In short order, we arrived at Camelot. With an effort of will, I suppressed the Monty Python skit from my mind. As we walked across the land bridge, I looked ahead at the village proper. It was a sea of Deltans, in groups around the central fires, and smaller groups around individual fire pits. I could see Archimedes's point. No one would be able to keep track of this many people. Really, based on the old definition of a village where everyone knew everyone else, this could be thought of as an unhealthy development. Caerleon wasn't much better. I wondered if the Deltans had a higher tolerance for crowding, or if they had developed a reluctance to split off villages because of the gorilloid and hippogriff threats. I resolved to bring it up with Archimedes, when time permitted. We moved toward Archimedes's Hexki. There I saw Diana, Buster, Belinda, and a couple of generations of children around the fire. Buster's siblings had long since moved on to their own fire pits, but Buster had stayed close with his father. I was glad of that. So, Diana. I was unreasonably nervous. Really, how could she associate me with the Bob? I appeared to be some random Deltan. Just the same, I couldn't shake it. We sat down at the fire, and Archimedes introduced me to the adults using a common Deltan name, which I instructed the translation routine to render as Robert. I performed the proper ear-waggle greeting to each. Diana didn't even twitch, and I relaxed. I noted that Diana was looking old and frail. It confirmed my feeling that Archimedes was aging more slowly than average. Probably the same gene responsible for his increased intelligence was affecting his lifespan. I felt a moment of relief that she might be gone soon, then a spike of shame at the thought. I might not like her, but she was Archimedes' life mate, and he was my friend. The kids, I realized with a shock that these were Buster's grandchildren, had started a game of tag while the adults talked, and one of them barreled into me. There was a moment of tense silence, then I laughed and poked the child with a finger. The tension dissolved, and Diana passed around some jerky. Just family.